of Supervisors, among many other titles. Have fun today, sir.
I will do that. We look forward to seeing you in the well.
You got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to switch gears real quickly here. Advocates for scaffold law reform were thrilled when a study by the Rockefeller Institute and Cornell was published a few weeks ago. The report stated the number of insurance claims as well as the number of non-fatal injury rates are higher in places in New York where Law 240, the scaffold law, is in effect. It also compared the number of non-fatal injuries as well as fatal falls in New York to those of the state of Illinois, where a law similar to 240 was repealed in 1995. Before repeal, Illinois had more non-fatal injuries than New York. After repeal, it had fewer. Before repeal, Illinois had more fatal falls than New York. After repeal, it had fewer. But the report has come under attack by the Center for Popular Democracy and the New York Committee for Occupational Health and Safety. In a counter report titled Fatally Flawed, Why the Rockefeller Institute Scaffold Law Report Doesn't Add Up, these groups claim the original report was biased, confuses correlation with causation, and ignores the facts. Additionally, last week, the Rockefeller Institute distanced itself from the report. Institute Director Tom Gase said the key analytical section of the report, quote, is just really awful. To add fuel to the fire, groups on both sides of the issue have filed FOIL requests. The group that commissioned the report, the Civil Justice Institute, the research arm of the Lawsuit Reform Alliance of New York, as well as the labor-backed Center for Popular Democracy. Oh, boy. Joining us now is an advocate for scaffold law reform, Mike Elmendorf, President and CEO of the Association of General Contractors of New York. Welcome back to the Capitol Press Room.
Well,
it's
hello there, Susan.
You.
Yeah, this is a little different when it used to just be me talking about this, right?
Wow. Yeah.
It's a real fight.
Well, you know what? On one hand, all publicity is good publicity, I guess.
I would agree. And I think the ferocity with which the other side is attempting to discredit this study, which, by the way, I think is a good, solid piece of work, I think speaks volumes to how important it is.
So
the reality is they just don't like the findings. And I just want to respond to a couple things that you said. First of all, the idea that the Rockefeller Institute is throwing their own people under the bus like they did in that initial statement, which they've sort of backed off of now, if you look at the subsequent comments, is, to me, I've never seen anything quite like it.
I don't think they're throwing people under the bus.
To say that their work was just awful? I mean, that's their own product.
They're saying that the one of the Cornell researchers, Geddes, his work is just awful.
Yeah, I think Cornell might have a different opinion on that. I think what people think is awful is that, again, they don't like the results. A couple of key points here. No one influenced their research. As a matter of fact, I'm one of the founders, in the interest of full disclosure, of the New York Civil Justice Institute, which commissioned the study. We had no idea what the study was going to say. This is what happens when you commission actual academic research, unlike these other groups that are out there presenting their own reports, but they're groups that are funded and created by advocates, right? We did not fund and create the Rockefeller Institute or Cornell University. When you go out and commission a study, you don't know what they're going to tell you, right? It was entirely possible they were going to give us back a report that was not helpful, in which case we would have said thank you very much, paid them, and put it, you know, in a dusty pile of paper somewhere. That's what happens when you do, when you commission research. The other thing is they were never asked to look at safety. They were asked to look at cost. And what happened was once they got into looking at the metrics related to cost, they came upon the correlation to safety. So that wasn't even part of what they were asked to do. So far from influencing them to reach that conclusion, they did that and found that in the course of their own research. It's a good piece of work by legitimate institutions, unlike other institutions that are funded by advocates who can issue reports. I guess we could have saved time and money and wrote our own report and issued it, kind of like the other guys did. But we wanted an actual piece of academic research. That's what we got.
So, as you say, on one side, the Center for Popular Democracy, which is an advocacy group, is alleging that the Civil Justice Institute bought and paid for the SUNY and Cornell report.
Oh, that's absolutely right. Somebody pays them to do research. That's how it works.
And they say that they basically purchased the result, which they do not have any.
I think anyone who believes that that's how the State University of New York and Cornell University work is really deluding themselves in a pretty sad way.
My question for you as a founder of the Lawsuit Reform Alliance is this. you know, now people are saying that the Rockefeller Institute was somehow politically pressured by its board chairman, Carl Hayden, to back away from the report because Hayden is an ally of Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, who is a trial lawyer. I mean, well, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, well, I haven't said that. I certainly think that if you look at the way they responded and the way they characterized their own professional and their own product, it's certainly without precedent in my experience to see someone do that.
They were having a bad day.
They were having a bad day, and I think they've kind of walked back from it. And the reality is I think that they should be standing by that report because it's a good report. Now, I realize that there are some interest groups out there, like the personal injury trial lawyers, who don't like the fact that there is now a legitimate study that says that the scaffold law is actually making construction sites less safe. By the way, it's surprising that they ended up there in this study because, again, it's not what we asked them to do. But for those who know what goes on out in the real world, that result is not surprising because the way this law works is totally counterintuitive to the idea of promoting safety.
The point I wanted to make, though, is that you can't on one side of the coin, not that I think you are, in fact, you're not, but you can't on one side of the coin say, well, the Rockefeller Institute is being pressured, and then on the other side say, you couldn't possibly think that the Rockefeller Institute and Cornell couldn't be pressured.
I think it's who is applying the pressure.
We're going to take a break and come right back with Mike Elmendorf, and maybe you can help us by explaining that statement. We'll be right back. So you are saying then that the Rockefeller Institute, on one hand, you can't buy and pay for a report like the way the Center for Popular Democracy is alleging. And on the other hand, though, you're saying that the Institute could be pressured by its board chairman.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I think if you look at the way they reacted and the way they characterized, again, their own professional, their own professor, their own product, it's very bizarre to me.
They embraced their own Michael Hattery, who was there.
I don't think he necessarily feels that way about it. Their statements have sort of evolved, right? And they've kind of come back to center here. The idea that, like I read this morning, that they're saying that the study was released prematurely. The study was delivered to the Institute, to the New York Civil Justice Institute, I believe in August. It was released in December because we were waiting in terms of what was going on in the external world for the right time to release the study. So 4 months after the study was delivered to the entity that commissioned it, it was released. I'm not sure how that makes it a premature release of the study. So the whole thing just, look, who knows what happened over there. If they say that nobody pressured them internally, I take them at their word. I believe they're professionals. They produced a good product here. But it just seems very strange to me that their initial reaction would be what it was when the fact is it's a good product.
Why the FOIL requests?
I think that there's a legit, and the other side has now issued a FOIA request,
yes,
for the RFP, which I'm going to suggest that the Lawsuit Reform Alliance just give them, because it was done through an RFP process. So it's not like we went out and tried to find institutions that we thought were going to agree with us. In fact, anybody who thinks out of the gate that the Rockefeller Institute or Cornell would be predisposed to agree with us on this issue, again, I think hasn't been paying attention. But I think it's a legitimate question to ask, and Lorraine has made that request. And by the way, I think they've already responded to the FOIA request, which, for those of you in the media, that must set some sort of record in terms of responding to a FOIA request.
Usually it takes more than a few hours.
I believe they were told there were no records to produce. So that was those FOIA requests are being turned around more quickly these days.
It should be noted that the Cornell researcher whose work is at issue declined an invitation to appear on our show, saying that his research was ongoing. Does that concern you at all?
No, not at all. I mean, we asked for real research. We got real research. I understand there are others who have suggested different things that they can do statistically. I don't even profess to try to pretend I know what all that means because I didn't pay a lot of attention in statistics class back in the day. But, you know, I think that it's a legitimate piece of work, and if they want to look at different angles and metrics, I think that's a great thing. We're not worried about that at all.
Are you going to be able to use this report as part of the lobbying effort to reform the scaffold law, or is it tainted?
I don't think it's tainted at all. I think we've been using it. Just, again, because people who don't want to see the law change because they financially benefit to the extreme from it don't like the findings of the report. and they've decided to level all sorts of accusations against it doesn't make it tainted. And the fact that all over the state people have been talking about this for the last week or so certainly doesn't hurt our cause either.
All publicity is good publicity.
Maybe not all, but in this case, I think this is, you know, it's elevating
it
the
certainly
issue.
Has raised the issue to a point where most people know what's going on, what the scaffold law is, and why there are people who want it to be changed.
Absolutely.
Mike Elmendorf is president and CEO of the Association of General Contractors of New York. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you. Always good to see you.